I'm David, and I'm a compulsive eater. Hey, everybody. I am grateful. I am grateful to be here, and thank you, Lynn, for asking me to come and share. Acceptance is an excellent topic for all times and all places, but especially now. I find in my life and in the world, I find myself living in, I don't know about you, but I've read and seen a lot of things in the world, both large and small, and it's hard sometimes to know what to believe, what to trust, but I know a couple of things. One thing I know is that I react differently to sugar, flour, and quantity than other people who aren't in this room and other rooms of CEA Howe. I have a physical allergy that makes me want more and more and more. And sometimes I look at, you know, normal people who say, oh, I can't have any more of that. It's just too, you know, I think there was a time when it's like, why can't I be like them and just eat what I want and not get in trouble? And the problem is they only want a piece or one, and I want the whole thing and more and more. I also have a tendency to obsess about it, even when it's not around, to think, and it talks to me in the middle of the night. Or even now I was getting ready for dinner, checking to make sure my bow tie was properly tied. It is tied. By me, and you know, I'm all gussied up, and the thought occurred, you know, it would be great right now. Luckily, I've been with you long enough to have the training in my head sort of automatically come back to that and say, no, it would be terrible right now, and God only knows. God only knows what would happen. God only knows if one bite, anything. So I am so grateful. And I'm grateful I know that my mind has problems. It's way better. New people, don't worry, it gets better, but it's still there. I still have the mind of a compulsive eater, even after 12 years of working a pretty good program, I think. And then I have the spiritual malady, which I know. I have an ache inside, which I used to fill with food and other people in unhealthy ways. And I still have that, but I don't let it go untreated as I did before. The other thing that I know for sure is that I've found a solution to my particular set of problems, and that is this fellowship. It's steps, traditions, the how concept, the seven tools, the fellowship. I love coming to this event. I have come and I see people that I haven't seen in a year and some people I haven't seen in a longer time, and I have a connection and I have history with people, and it is amazing to me. So I know even when the world around us is chaotic, or it looks that way to me, and it can look chaotic and frightening on an average Wednesday, you know, it doesn't have to be because, you know, some world event is stirring things up. My innate negative thinking can take over at any moment at work or with friends. And I'm really a different person than when I came here 12 years ago. I have 12 years and 18 days of back-to-back abstinence. I don't think I knew when I, my abstinence is the 2nd of July, you know, because that's, the wheels fell off on the 31st of June, I think, and then I became willing to come to a meeting on the 1st, and then I started the following day. And I'm so grateful for that, and I didn't know that conference and convention were happening. I look back at some of the minutes of the business meetings and, you know, super, super geeky about that. But I look back and it's like, gosh, I wish I could have been there. But I was head down in the food then. I wouldn't have cared about that. I've grown to care about people, places, and things that I never would have. You know, I was, oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So I try to remember that when my mental obsession comes back now and says, that's ridiculous. You don't need that. You don't need to go there. You don't need to speak at convention. It's like, what do I know? When have I become any better at predicting the future? You know, I got the same mind here, and I have some training that keeps it a little better. It's trained it a little so it doesn't act out and chew up slippers and, you know, other things that bad minds do. But I still don't know. And what I do know is that if I show up and do what I'm asked, things go well. I feel better. I'm a compulsive eater, only child of older parents. My father, I think, might have been a compulsive eater. He was an alcoholic for sure and a rageaholic. And that didn't make me a compulsive eater, but it gave me plenty of reasons to eat. I sometimes say that, you know, there were only three of us, but it was pretty tense, and everyone needed a cocktail and a snack, you know, from as early as I can remember. Mom wasn't a great cook. She was a lovely lady. My pictures are going around, and she's in a couple of them, and She used to tell me, "You're the best thing that ever happened to me," and she meant it. And it wasn't manipulative. I now know, but it just used to make me want to fall through the floor and just vanish. But she wasn't a great cook, and so I took over. And at, I don't know, 8 or 10 or something, it's like, we need to go to the store and we need to buy this and this and this and this, and we're gonna make food. And that was because I'd been watching The French Chef on PBS in LA. It was awesome. It was awesome. I was very popular suddenly because I could like turn out some pretty good stuff. I still can, but now it's on the food plan. I entertain people who are not in our fellowship, and they don't know that they're, and they aren't eating an abstinent meal because they're not weighing and measuring it. But if you come to my house, there's a scale and cups, and there's help yourself, and you figure that out, that's your abstinence. And if you want to know what's in it, I'll tell you exactly. But I know what I'm going to eat. Yeah, I had a love of food from a very early age, but it never really kicked in until tough times came. And so before program, when times got tough, I went to the pantry, you know, and I ate things until I didn't feel anymore, because I thought that was what you were supposed to do. You know, you feel terrible, people are being mean to you and looking at you funny, or maybe actually causing some harm. You have to eat. And then I kept eating, and then I kept eating. I was up and down for a while. When I went off to college, the food was really bad. And then I discovered liquid food and drank a lot, and it didn't go well. But I was, you know, at one point 20-odd years ago, I was the same weight I am now, and working out and completely obsessed. I mean, completely without any sort of solution. And when the first thing came along, it was like, jump the tracks and off you go. And there's a photo of me on my 30th birthday where I was probably 230, 235. I was still drinking, and my partner of almost 8 years had killed himself, and I'm trying to smile, like, and I look at that guy, and I just, like, my heart breaks when I look at that. It's like, and I felt like I was the kid that, you know, my father was looking at through the long camera, and I didn't quite measure up, and I see that now. I didn't see it then. It was like, ha ha, it's a party. I'm wearing these stupid Dealey boppers that say 30 on the top. But I was miserable. I was dying inside. I had lost a little bit of weight through trying on my own, but it only got me down to 210, and that's when I came to the rooms. I came with a couple of years of sobriety off of alcohol, four and a half. And I'm firmly convinced that if I had not gotten my food in order, I probably would have gone back to using or drinking in some manner. I remember researching stuff on the internet. Like, I don't need to tell my sponsor in this other program, you know, that I'm going to take these pills. And it's like, really? Really? You know, and there may be some risk, some cardiac risk to taking that, but yeah, it'll get the food in order. And it's like, and that was a moment of clarity, that it was just like, that feels so wrong. I ate a lot. I ate sugar. I sometimes I say I wasn't a quantity fiend, but it depends on what it was. You know, I sometimes now I like, as I said, I like my own cooking, and sometimes for breakfast I make an exceptionally lovely breakfast and think afterwards, gosh, I could eat three more of those. And I don't. And I don't like to say, oh, you got 12 years, you shouldn't be thinking that. It's like, well, yeah, I got time, and you think that. As long as you don't do it, it's fine. And as long as I don't beat myself up for those thoughts, they just go away. It's just thoughts. It's like, I haven't done anything. I just had a thought. I don't have to act on it. So, yeah, so I came in, and I was so blessed to be embraced by the fellowship. And I've sponsored a few people out in distant places where there's pretty small meetings, and I know that in LA, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed to have face-to-face meetings where I even have a choice of which three I want to go to. I'm sort of a creature of habits. I used to be a creature of terrible habits. Now I'm a creature of better habits. And I like my meetings, even when they upset me sometimes. I like them because they're my meetings, they're my home, and I feel that way. And there are people in them still who were there before, who have helped me, and I've been able to help in return. Thank you, business conference and board, for your days of work on our behalf. I was privileged to be on the conference as a delegate, and then on the board, and then as chair. And it was both horrifying and the time of my life. It is, whatever service is in front of you is what is presented to you. And, you know, all the thoughts of, oh, I'm in charge and it's going to go under on my watch and people will point at me. Yeah. Talk about ego. It's like, it was an amazing experience. And the fellowship will go on because it must. This has opened my eyes to a new way of life that I didn't think I needed. If you don't like service, do more. You know, you haven't gotten to the sweet spot yet. It's like, if you only have one sponsee, get another one. You know, if you can sponsor. Obviously, people have lives. I'm single. I have a really predictable job, so I can take quite a few phone calls, but I've just grown to love these people, even the ones that vex me sometimes. And I get to just get out of me. You know, in the big book, Bill says, nothing will work quite like working with another. That's not an exact quote, but in times of difficulty, nothing helps so much as working with another. In the big book, it says alcoholic. In our program, we say compulsive eater. And when I talk to my sponsees, I focus on them and their needs and their service and whatever else it may be. And for a brief moment, my ego winks out. It goes away. There is no ego at all. It is all replaced on love and care for another. I've had the experience where things went bad and that didn't happen, and I started, and my ego, when I got a call from a sponsee, you know, the ego started going off, and it's like, that's a bad thing. You know, it's not supposed to be like that. But we've since parted ways. But And that's fine because there are other people whose ego is not involved. I'm not perfect with that, of course. I have an ego that is in check a lot more than it used to be. But I still have to safeguard. So service and sponsorship, the writing I do every day and really like it, even when I'm not brilliant in my own opinion. I write it because my sponsor will talk to me about why I haven't written, you know, when I call him. And I do it 5 or 10 minutes before I talk to him. And boom, done. Now, that didn't used to always be that way. I used to spend a lot of time thinking about it and worrying and what's the right answer and this and that and it won't be perfect. And it's like, well, if I don't do it, it will surely be imperfect. But it's become a habit, and I think that's the thing with all of our tools, is they need to be habits. These are the habits to replace my bad habits. to call friends or to call newcomers and just say, you know, welcome to our fellowship. It was great to see you the other day. How's it going? And then listen to the Yeah. The other message I have is that this program travels well. It really travels well. I've been privileged to be able to go a lot of different places in the world. Where some places are easier and there's program. It was a great honor to visit Mexico and to participate in the fellowship there. Most of the places I go, there is no See How, but there is wherever I go, and there is always the phone. You know, with acceptance doesn't mean that I have to like everything. Acceptance means I have to accept what's going on. Even if I don't like it and I want to do something about it, if I don't accept what it is, where it is right now, I have no place to go. I don't know what to do. It's like, I hate it here. What are you going to do about it? It's like, either get over it, make a plan to go somewhere else, or, you know, figure out something to do with your energy other than complain, because complaining only leads to being a victim, and if you're really a victim, then you're in trouble because other people are the problem, and then you're out of luck, you know, because last time I checked, I can't do anything about anybody else. Anyway, traveling is awesome. I went with the intention to stay abstinent no matter what. I went to Italy, I went to Vienna, I went to South America, I went to, where have I been in Asia since I've been abstinent? India, I've been to India in abstinence, all right. Some places can be more triggering. Being honest always helps. Being willing always helps. Being prepared always helps. It's just like anywhere else. The gift of this program is that I have a new relationship with food, provided I do the work that this group has asked of me every day. That I weigh and measure, that I commit my food, that I write, that I go to meetings, that I talk to other people, I make outreach calls, I preserve anonymity, which, you know, some people come and some people go, and if I see them, I greet them, but I don't, like, say, you know, when you coming back? Looks like it's not working for you. You know, it's like, we want to have more people come, I think. I never had the opportunity to meet Fred, and Fred said a lot of things apparently, but one of the things that he said that really, really struck home for me is that if you get your food in order, the rest of your life will get in order. And that has certainly been my experience. I have been able to show up for things that I didn't think I could. My mom had Alzheimer's. I was her only child. She's passed away. It's been 5 years. Like, she passed away. I came to conference and I got to be the chair, like, right at the same time. And it's like, okay, I guess my higher power has decided I need something to keep me occupied so I don't obsess about that. And that was a gift. I mean, that was such a gift. I was able to go to meetings and share about what was going on and say, I don't know what I'm doing, help. And people would tell me their experience. And I would see her and she would sort of recognize me. And then I would go to a meeting and, you know, sob and carry on. I mean, I tried to be as positive as I could, but this is a program that has worked for me during tough times and good times too. I mean, I'm just the guy that doesn't eat the treats at work, and people know, you know, and I don't like scream at them anymore. When I first got abstinent, I think I reacted to them like they were trying to kill me. You know, don't take that near me. It's you know, and it's like, it's just food. It's just food. They can eat one and not think about it for the next 3 weeks, you know. Or even have two and not be, you know, not be eligible for us. It has enabled me to grow up finally. A good friend has suggested that, you know, one thing we have about our childhoods is that they were really, really long. My childhood lasted until I was 44 when I came to program. And I stopped eating like an infant. I mean, really, I would eat like an infant. You know, feeling, and I, you know, I can't tell you how grateful I am. And I have the defect of character of procrastination, and Ray a few years ago said, I really want you to speak at convention. And so she'll have to listen to me on tape, perhaps, if that's in the plan. But I am so grateful to all those who have gone before, who figured out how a guy like me, who will be honest about everything except what he's eating. Big old sneak, you know, big old sneak. And I've become a person that I didn't even know I needed to be. And I'm always gonna be grateful for that. And I'm always gonna make my sponsees do service. So if anyone asks if they want me to sponsor them, you know, just beware, you might end up with, you know, in front of a mic or something, because it's this is priceless. This is really priceless. And the only thing I had to give you was my ego, and it wasn't that big a deal anyway. So, thanks for letting me share.